Oh, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
And what you have is just nuggets. Just think of it as nuggets.
That's it.
Because you're going to need your Bible. You're going to need your word.
That's right.
To follow along in, because God's got all that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Fully prepared for us in the word.
Amen.
And we're just so thankful to Bishop Moore.
Amen.
And Reverend Moore, his wife, Sister Moore. And the teachers of the word at Voices Victory Church. And for our host church, Pastor Zach, Pastor Chanel here at Grace, where Emmanuel Chapel worships as well. And we are so thankful to God for all that He has done.
Mm-hmm.
God's got me on, I don't know if it's skates or roller coaster this weekend. So bear with me, because He is such a good God.
Amen.
We wanted to share with you the scripture that you've chosen is from 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 26, and I think you have that printed in your program.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice in that scripture, we are referenced as the army of God.
Mm-hmm.
We are God's people.
That's right.
And as such, the Bible, in multiple places, presents us as an army. And I want to share with you today from several scriptures, the predominant scripture being Deuteronomy chapter 20. When you found it, say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20.
Amen.
Now let me just read verse 1 and then we will, 1 and 2, and we'll pray. When you go to war against your enemies, and see horses and chariots, and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them. Because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. Father, we thank you and praise you and glorify you for an opportunity to share your word. Pray, Lord, that you would be the teacher, be the speaker, be the influence in our lives. And today, Lord, be our drill sergeant. Be our commanding officer. Be the leader of all the armies that you have put in place. And Lord, we pray that we will experience you in a new way today. Experience what it's like to be in an army. And have an understanding of the roles that we are to carry out. And Lord, we thank you for the victory. Because victory is ours. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It occurred to me when I read the scripture that though we know that we're in an army, we see ourselves as the people of God and in the army of God. I'm not so sure that we understand what it is to be in an army. And God caused me to try to research a little bit.
That's it.
Not having been in an army before in myself, in my life, but my husband was in the military. And I shared briefly a little story. He wrote me in a letter. We were 18. Like we knew a whole lot, you know.
Yes.
We had been dating almost the whole 4 years of high school. And then he went into the military. Oh, we just were so upset. And I went away to college. And one day, while he was visiting me at college, we're in the basement of the main center there where all the people hung out. And some people made out. But we're in this basement talking. And he's almost cheerful. And he said, I got orders. And he said, I'm going to Vietnam. Oh, my goodness, we cried. We cried. Because in that era, our classmates were coming home in caskets. Day after day. I don't know how many classmates we lost to that war, but they were 17 and 18, like we were. And we believed that we would never ever see each other again. And so we decided the best thing for us to do, because we believed in celibacy before marriage, was that we needed to get married. I don't know why we believe that. It makes no sense today. That's a reason to get married. But in the spirit of that moment, we thought, this is war. And we might not ever see each other again. So let's get married. And we got married. And soon he wrote me a letter back saying that he was in charge. And I thought, my, he moved up fast. He said that he was in charge of 7 men. And I wrote home to my parents, Paul's in charge. He's in charge of 7 men. And my father, who never liked him at all, said, well, what is he in charge of? What do they do? And the next letter that came, I discovered that he was truly in charge. I got a picture of him. He had made the next rank. He was no longer a private. But they were in charge of the kitchen detail. He was in charge of the washing dishes, of the cutting of potatoes, and all of that thing. And I say that to say to you that when you first join an army, you are not going to be the general. You may not even be in charge when you first go in of anybody. But the main thing about being in an army is that you are no longer just an individual.
Say it. All right. I like that.
Yeah. And I believe that's what God wants us to understand about the people of God. You are not alone in this warfare. And believe you me, if I get nothing else across to you today, it is that this is war. Right. What is this? War. What is this?
War.
This is what?
War.
We are in a what?
War.
Amen. And we have gotten to become so mealy mouth, as Festus puts it, that we're so worried about poor little me and how I feel. And you know what? When you go into war, you don't have time for stuff like that. The enemy is hot and heavy, ready and willing to battle you and destroy you.
Sure, you're right.
So in our first session here, we want to look at preparation for this soldier, preparation to go to war. That when you go to war, they don't just take you, put you in a uniform, and ship you to war. You have to go to boot camp first. And so today we want to look at what is boot camp. Boot camp is your preparation time for war. In the boot camp of the United States Army, the first week is known by a term as total control. So the first thing in God's army, if you're going to be in God's army, you're going to need some training time. Yeah, a lot of people just, you know, they get excited in the spirit of the moment, and they think they have it all, and they're ready just to go out, and next thing you know, they're shot down, they're weak, they're tired, they're not even showing up in church anymore, because they didn't take the time to go through God's boot camp. And in boot camp is when you say to yourself, I yield everything to God.
That's right.
And that's your first step, because boot camp is designed to move the soldier being about himself to being about the whole army, about the team, about the division, about his compatriots. It's about getting him to understand that you as an individual can be moved like a chess piece on a chessboard. And this man that's in charge of this army, he calculates how many losses he's going to have.
Yes, he does.
The generals are sitting in Washington. They already plan when you go to war. We can expect in this skirmish, in this war, to lose 20%, 30%, 10%, whatever. And so one soldier doesn't mean a lot to them.
All right.
But in God's army, every soldier is important.
Yeah.
what? Losing total control. I no longer, I'm going to give myself to God. I am not going to be in charge of myself. And God, in turn, gives you free will so that you can choose to do whatever you want to do. Now, they don't do that in the boot camp of the United States Army. The Bible, the word here on your sheet says, total control is where the soldiers only do what they are told to do by the Israel sergeants. I wonder what life would be like for us as Christians in churches if every person who came to Christ and accepted Christ was willing to make Christ the commander-in-chief, was willing to follow the guidelines that he has put in place. I looked up to see how many commands that our commander-in-chief had. And I didn't print all this out, but it's pages after pages after pages of the commands of Jesus. And we can make this available to you at a later time in this conference if you like. Commands, pages and pages and pages. The Bible tells us that he has something for us to do. Amen. There is a plan and a purpose. Being in the army, you got to have a plan. You cannot go to war without a plan. You can't just tell all the soldiers, okay, wake up at 7 in the morning, get your gun, we're going to war. You need to have a plan, and everybody needs to know the plan, and everybody needs to follow the plan. Hallelujah. So you've got to do what the drill sergeant says to do. Amen. This first few weeks of basic training is not the time for you to try to come up with a better way of doing things.
Well,
war.
And I think we forget we're in a war and we're in the army.
All right.
The army of God. Amen.
Amen.
You need to rise early. You need to rise early. That's what we learned from boot camp. You got a whole day to do, but you need to get up early and get on your knees and get in your word and get in touch with what God is wanting to tell you. Rise early. If you get up before the day dawns, before the household gets up, before the kids are running around, before the husband is ready for his breakfast, before the wife gets her house shoes on, you ought to be able to get up and get will be able to do anything right. God knows that all of us have sinned.
That's right.
And come short of the glory. That's what the scripture says. And the wages of sin is death. A soldier who does not follow orders is like a Christian who is still committing sin.
That's right.
The wages of that soldier not following orders is he can get killed. And not just he get killed, but get the whole outfit killed. Continued sin is spiritual death. You can't get past the analogy. You can't get past it. There is a dying spirit going on. A spirit of apathy. A spirit of don't care. A spirit of lackadaisicalness. A spirit of I do whatever I'm going to do. I'm wrong.
Yeah, you see it too.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But when you're in the army of God, nobody is going to be expected to be perfect.
All right.
Nobody can do anything right when you're still in boot camp. So people are going to see it and fall short of the glory. Somebody joins your church, don't expect them to be perfect. They have not been what you have been. They have not known as much word as you know. They don't even know what the expectation is in that particular church because you didn't put them in boot camp when you got them in. Amen. You're just so glad to see them coming down the aisle. Hallelujah. Praise God. You go over there, speaks to that too. However, by the end of the first week, you will be able to do what you're told in the army. Most soldiers and most men women who join the army, they don't get it the first week. They are miserable. All of them want to come home. One of our workers over at the bookstore, young man, stopped by the store one day when he's in high school. He's about 15, 16, and he said, I need to get a job. Do you have any work for me? And I said, yes. And I'm thinking in my head, I don't know what work, but we got to find something. When a 15, 16-year-old young man comes in and wants to work, I'm going to find something for him to do. If it's nothing more than sweeping up, taking out the trash, or moving some heavy things around, and that's exactly what he did. Well, after a couple of years of working at the store that way, he went to, boot camp. Told me he was joining the army. He went to boot camp. And he wrote back. And he said, I want to go home. He hadn't been there a week. And he wants to come home. And he wrote his mama, told her he wanted to come home. But not to tell his father that he wanted to come home. It's one of those men things. It's okay to look weak in front of your mama, but don't look that way in front of your father. Which is why you need both parents in the home. That's another story. You need both parents.
Yes.
You need two parents in that home. If you don't have it, God will bless you, but you get some fellas in those guys' and girls' life that are spiritual men. Because the mother gives you concern and care, and he's always going to be there for you, and she lets you get by with stuff and all of that. But that father shows you adventure, determination. Fall down, mama says, oh, dang it, you all right? Let mama kiss it, make it better. But daddy is like that drill. What you on the ground for? Get up! And you have the balance that you need in the home.
All right.
In the army, you're told when you'll be able to do something, what you're going to be able to do, and not only that, how to do it.
Yeah.
You may have learned how to get dressed one way, but they're going to teach you a totally different way. You may have learned how to make your bed one way, but they're going to teach you a totally different way. And in some camps, they're going to pop a dime or a quarter on those sheets, and they better pop up. They better be fitted tight, fitted ready. See, God doesn't play, church. God is looking for people who are willing to find out what it is that God wants, how he wants it done, when he wants it done, and who he wants to do it, and be willing to be a good soldier in that army and say, Lord, I want to make a move till you tell me to move. I stand at attention in your face. Tell me what you want me to do. Direct me. Command me. And I will do what you tell me to do. But that soldier doesn't step out of line until they tell him to make a step. They get their marching orders. Amen. And where the guys are hooked, well, all hooked, you know, it's ready to march. And they all march together. And they're not scrambling back in their mind. Oh, well, we going somewhere today? Oh, well, we're supposed to be there today. Too. But what I discover in 90% of the cases, they have no plan to win.
That's all right.
No plan to win. The only plan they have is to complain. The plan is to complain. And the plan is to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And you talk to them 2 years later, they're still talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And you talk to them 5 years later, they're still talking about the same thing that they were talking about. Why? This is a soldier that they may have had to send home. Mm-hmm. Not everybody completes boot camp. Not everybody gets through boot camp. Weapons. The terminology weapons in the Bible is sword. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And you know that whole scripture, right? We have to battle with the weapons that God has given us. You might think about having a rifle as a weapon, but I want you to think about the Bible. It's a sword. The Bible calls it a sword. The thing that's different from a rifle to a sword is a rifle can run out of bullets. But guess what? A sword was never going to become ineffective. Amen. The Bible says it cuts coming and going. It's a double-edged sword. It's a weapon of offense and a weapon of defense. So if you got to go forward, you're going forward in the Lord. You're testing, you're doing it, you're doing it. And they come against you, oh, you got to back up. But you figure out the enemy this way and that way and that way. I know who I am and who I am. That's what a two-edged sword is. Offensive and defensive.
Amen.
Combat training time. In the military, you're up early, you're marching for miles and miles and miles and miles. You're learning how to use your weapon for offense and defense. In the old days in the military, it wasn't just bullets, there was a dagger on the end. And so if you were out of bullets, you could thrust. There were things you could do with them. But I think sometimes we don't see our Bible as a weapon. Satan is required to flee when you tell him to flee. Say that with me. Satan is required. On them, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that's Now, hearing that, don't you wonder why we only have 3 or 4 people in Bible study? Why is it that when something is coming hard and heavy against people, they can't stand, they're falling apart emotionally, mentally, physically? Why? Because they didn't come to training camp.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Now they came one time and claimed they couldn't get it. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
Well, I read the Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. The devil is a liar.
Come on, man.
God wants you to get something out of it.
Amen.
God's got it here all these thousands of years, so you still can't get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you're looking at your cell phone or between the covers or on the iPad or wherever. The main thing is the word of God will last forever. That's what the scripture says. Know what the word says and battle with it.
All right.
Battle with it. One of these days I'm concerned that 2 generations from now may never ever be able to find one of these. The technology will have moved and moved and moved and moved. And people will have forgotten about something called book. Won't know how to read it. And the satellites in wartime may fall. And the internet may crash. But the Bible says the word of God will stand forever.
Hallelujah.
So I got a box. I'm putting Bibles in the box. And I'm trying to figure out where to put this box. But I'm going to put it on some kind of property that my family owns. And I'm going to make sure that the word gets spread from generation to generation to generation. That your ancestor so-and-so buried a treasure.
All right.
This buried treasure on this property.
Hallelujah.
That's the only way they're going to look for it. Tell them it's a Bible that you can use. But you tell them what it is, it's treasure. There's a treasure chest somewhere on this property.
Yes.
And I'm serious about that. That's what I've decided to do. And I believe that generations after generations may pass. They'll see it just as not a real thing, something somebody said. But one day somebody will look for that treasure. And when they find it, oh, what a power of the word will come to them.
Yes.
What do we say? This is a
war.
We are in a
war.
We are not in a spa. We are not in a spa. You know what I mean by that? You know where you go to just kind of.
Deuteronomy
20. The title of this is Going to War.
Hello?
Yeah.
Amen.
He says, when you go to war.
Not yet.
He doesn't say, if you go to war. He doesn't say, some people go to war. He says, when you go to war against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt will be with you. Mm-hmm. When you're going to go into battle, who's supposed to come forward? The priests, the preachers, the word carriers, the people of God are supposed to come forward and address the army.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, you dispel all this notion that we don't need pastors. That's a good thing.
You preaching. You preaching.
And yet God said, I will give you pastors. Jeremiah 3:15. So you basically said, I don't want what God wants to give me. Because we're in a generation that doesn't want anybody over them.
Right.
And I'm listening to thousands and thousands and thousands of voices that confusing themselves. The Bible says he is the good shepherd. The shepherd know, the sheep know my voice. I know about them. He has put shepherds in place. And if you're in an army, you can't have an effective army without a leader.
All right.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Hero Israel, today you are drawing near for a battle against your enemies, but don't let your heart faint. The largest battlefield is your mind and your thinking.
Yeah.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you can't do it, you will never do it. One of the training and boot camp is to get people to believe that they are going to be successful, that we will not tolerate not having success. We will not victorious. We are going to win this thing, and we are going to do it this way.
Amen.
And that's what God wants you to know, that you can win this thing, but you've got to win it together as an army, as a powerful people, with your buddies in place, and your prayer warriors, and your word, and your sword, and get your armor on, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith, the breastplate, the shield of faith, and wrap your loins in the truth, the belt of truth, and shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Get your armor on, because the enemy is constantly shooting bullets and arrows at you. But you can fear not the fiery darts of the enemy. 3 and 4. He shall say, who's he? When you're talking about the priest, the high priest Jesus Christ, addressing the army, he shall say, hear Israel. Today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic. My Bible says in the NIV, or be terrified of them. And I think we got a lot of panic attacks.
Yeah.
A lot of panic attacks. People get all nervous and all worried and all fearful and so scared. Oh, I can't go to the dentist. I'm scared to go to the dentist. And scared to go to the doctor. I don't know what they might tell me. Scared to have the CAT scan. And scared to do this. And scared to take a new job. And scared to do anything. But the Bible says we are not to be panicking.
That's right.
Yep. I don't care what you see happening in your church. I don't care how many pews you see empty or how many pews you see full. You need not to panic.
Amen.
Don't panic.
Jesus.
He says, strengthen the things that remain.
Yes.
If the army goes out there and they're fighting a battle, and some soldiers fall this way and some soldiers fall that way, that's okay. The Bible said 1,000 will fall on one side and 10,000 will fall on another side. But I am still dead set forth. I can go forth. I still have an army. I still have a sword. I still have an army. I can still fight this battle. I believe God for what he said.
Yes.
I can't be concerned that thousands are falling at my side. I've got to stand.
Yes.
Against the forces of the enemy.
All right. All right.
Maybe you're the only one going to church out of your house.
Right.
Still go.
Still go.
Yeah.
Still.
Maybe you're the only one reading the Bible and laughing at you and calling it nonsense and all of that. You stand for, know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
All
new house, by coming to Christ, and you got your temple here. Have you dedicated it, though? When you get dedicated, you have to be consistently there for it. Amen. That's what dedication means. Consistency.
Yes.
God is looking for a dedicated heart and a dedicated house. My house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's not talking about 2232 62nd Street. He's talking about me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Well, let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicated. In other words, when you're in the army and you're in the boot camp, if you're not going to hang, just go.
Yeah.
Hello?
All right.
God is, he's not willing that any man should perish.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still saying his words. And some is all veiled. They don't get it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And maybe the timing is not right.
All right.
Maybe God's got another time and another way in which he's going to draw them.
Mm-hmm.
But you stay on the battlefield.
Right? Right.
You stay ready. Second Timothy 2:4-5 says, a soldier refrains from entangling himself in civilian affairs in order to please the one who enlisted him.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to refrain from getting yourself all caught up in the stuff of the world.
Yeah. Right.
And the enemy is good at trying to get you to do that.
Soon
as you say you're going to church Sunday morning, door ain't open, something happens. Soon as you make up in your mind that you're going to, I got to get some prayer time in. I think I'm going to get away in my closet. Ring, 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 ding, 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 dong, ding, ding, all that kind of stuff starts to happen. Why? Because the enemy is trying to steer you away. And one of the easiest ways he would get you is through the cute little grandchildren. Oh, yeah. You come at you through people. People try to use people to get you to do something.
All right.
Granted, my stomach hurts. I don't think I could go to church today. And you say, oh, the poor baby. You poor baby. My mother used to say, take some Pepto Bismol and be ready in 5 minutes.
Oh, yes.
And her sister used to say, well, I guess we better go to the doctor and get a shot. That cured the stomach ache real quick.
Yes.
So realize that the enemy is not looking like some demon with a horn.
No, it's a dog.
He can smile in your face. Look at the clock. ourselves. Remember that we have been provided victory.
Yeah.
Victory is already ours. But if you believe you're defeated, you are defeated.
Yes.
You cannot go by what you see. Go by what you believe. Go by what you believe. Not by what you see. I close with a story. There were some soldiers in the Middle East. And they came under attack. It was a ridge up ahead. And there was gunfire coming all along the ridge. Gunfire all along the ridge. Boy, they hunkered down. They got down behind their battlements. And they were trying to rise up and shoot. But the fire just kept coming. And finally the commander says, I want one person to go that way. And one person to go around this way. We're going to outflank them. And he sent them around this way and this way and this way. Because you got to outflank the enemy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He would go this way and go this way. And when they got up there to the ridge, guess what? There was only one person. One more person. But they had rigged the system to where rifles would fire in sequence all along the ridge. Just with him pulling this and pulling this and pulling. And made it look like there was a whole army.
All right.
Satan's biggest weapon is discouragement.
Amen.
To get you discouraged. His second biggest weapon is that he is trying to deceive you. You cannot be deceived if you're solid in the Word of God. You claim that word to battle that enemy. It was designed to battle him.
Yes.
Designed to battle. And so, therefore, the battlefield is in your mind.
Yeah.
It's in your thinking. Don't miss boot camp. Mm-hmm. Get yourself prepared for war. But the battle is already won.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The great advantage of being in the battle is to be able to cheer. Wow. Look what I've done. I've overcome this. When you do that, now you become stronger and ready to go battle again. Okay, I've done that. Got that, did that, been there, done that. Look at what God did. Look at this miracle God has done. Let's take something else. Give me something else to tackle. You should be ready to take the next step every day. Because one battle does not the war determine.
Yes.
There'll be a series of battles that you have to be in. A series. So you can't sit down at the end of one and go, woo! So glad that's over. You gotta pack up. Reload. Clean your weapon. Get dressed. Check your socks. So your feet can be shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Yes.
Get your boots on.
All right, man.
Put your helmet on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get some truth around you.
Yes.
I may be old, but I ain't done.
Okay.
I may be young, but I'm not done. I may be tired, but I'm not weary.
All right.
I may be weak, but he is strong.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And be ready to battle again. God bless you today.
Amen.